Hi community, Natalia Sanzo and Kimberly Vaughn are here to chat with you about the thyroid hair loss connection. Today's episode is dedicated to building the foundation for our podcast series. Today you will learn more about the thyroid gland, the most common thyroid disorders, signs and symptoms to watch out for, and necessary labs to have drawn to get a proper diagnosis. Make sure you stay to the end because we will discuss the most asked questions Kimberly and I get in our practice. I will answer the question, what is the best diet to heal thyroid disease? And Kimberly will answer the question, does COVID cause hair loss? Hello, thank you for listening to Thyroid Hair Loss Connection Podcast, a science-based, honest, candid conversation about how your thyroid affects your hair. You will learn practical solutions to hair growth, healing your thyroid, and balancing hormones with holistic nutrition approach and the latest treatments. Your hosts, me, Natalia Sanzo, a registered dietitian, aka Nashville thyroid expert, and Kimberly Vaughn, a board-certified trichologist, hair loss specialist, and coach. To stay up to date on the latest topics, make sure to subscribe to our channel. We also cannot do this without you. Send us a question to the link below and tune in each week for the answers. Now, let's head to the show. Kimberly, I feel like there is a silent epidemic going on around the world no one is talking about. I'm referring to thyroid disorders, because it's now estimated that about 20 million Americans have some form of thyroid disease. Most of those thyroid disorders manifest in hypothyroidism. Over 90% of people in the United States living with hypothyroidism have Hashimoto's. The craziest thing is that many of them don't even know that they have thyroid disorders.
Natalia, so we know that the thyroid is a gland. I know a lot of clients come into our office and they always point to their neck and they'll say, well, you know, I feel like I have a nodule or I feel like I have a bump on my neck. Other individuals will say, oh, yes, you know, someone in my family had their thyroid gland removed. So I think we all kind of understand the thyroid gland resides somewhere between our chin, right, and our décolleté. But I mean, why is it so important in our bodies? And it functions and supports our thyroid, our hormone, our endocrine system. I mean, it's crazy.
Yes, Kimberly, our thyroid gland is such a small little organ, but it's a mighty one. Let me take a moment and talk about the thyroid gland. It's a butterfly-shaped gland that is part of our endocrine system, as you mentioned, and it sits at the base of the neck right behind and below Adam's apple. It plays a very important role in metabolism. I think everybody knows that one. It's responsible for releasing hormones that control the metabolism, which is the way the body uses energy. Not only that, but the thyroid controls a number of other functions, such as body temperature, weight, you know, our nervous system, breathing, menstrual cycles, muscle strength, and heart rate, just to name a few. That is why when this organ is not working properly, the whole body is affected. Let me talk about some of the hormones that thyroid gland produces. There are T1, T2, T3, and T4. We are probably most familiar with T3 and T4, right? Scientists don't know much about T1 and T2, but Kimberly, you know, I'm sure there is a good reason our body or our thyroid made those hormones in small quantities. But for the sake of this podcast, we'll concentrate on just T3 and T4. These hormones help oxygen get into your cells and are critical for your body's ability to produce and use energy. This role in delivering oxygen and energy makes your thyroid the master gland of metabolism.
One of the biggest concerns, Natalia, is when our clients come in, many times there's numerous issues that are revolving around their hair loss, their hair breakage, their scalp irritation, their scalp burning. One of the most complicated, though, and that's the reason we have this podcast, right, is the thyroid. Help us understand, what is the difference between hypothyroid and hyperthyroid? Because I think there's misconceptions. I know we're going to touch on which labs really kind of drive the diagnosis here in a moment, but help the listeners understand, what is the difference between those two diseases?
Kimberly, that's a great question. There are several thyroid diseases, and most thyroid issues fall into two categories, and I'm trying to simplify this. So first is Graves' disease, aka hyperthyroidism, a state where your thyroid produces too much thyroid hormone. So your TSH will be low. In case of Hashimoto's, aka hypothyroidism, a condition where your thyroid produces too little thyroid hormones, and your TSH will be high.
Wow, this is so much information. And I'm learning something every single time we sit and we meet to talk about these crazy glands and hormones and all the reasons that our poor clients see hair loss. But I think if we could break it down a little bit and help me understand the differences between hyperthyroidism and hypothyroidism.
Kimberly, that's a great question. And a lot of confusion comes with those questions. So there are two ways to figure that out. First, paying close attention to the signs and symptoms. Second, get the blood work done. But your symptoms can be as good as thyroid test, I think. Our symptoms and the body offer vital clues as to what is going on inside our bodies. But these symptoms can shift as your thyroid hormones level change. So a person can go from hypothyroidism to hyperthyroidism within 30 days.
Wow, so, that's crazy.
Yes. So let's take a closer look at some symptoms. If you're experiencing slower metabolism, that leads to, let's say, weight gain, depression, fatigue, dry skin, constipation, you know, dry hair, of course, hair loss. That's a big one. Loss of the outer third of eyebrow, heavy menstrual periods, puffy face, slow heartbeat. Then you may be in the hypothyroidism state, or, you know, they also called it sluggish thyroid. Now, let's look at the opposite spectrum of thyroid disorders called hyperthyroidism, or Graves', right? Overreactive thyroid. If you're experiencing unintentional weight loss, anxiety, tremors, irritability, fatigue. I mean, that sounds like a normal day, you know, in my life. heat intolerance, again, hair loss, right? We see hair loss on both ends.
I'm going to stop you right there. I'm so sorry, because I'm so glad you pointed this out. So many clients come in, and yes, maybe they've been properly diagnosed or improperly diagnosed, but the first thing they say is, oh, I must have hypothyroidism because I'm losing my hair. Mm-hmm. What they don't realize is the hair can change structure, texture, and loss really pattern, right, throughout the course of the scalp if they have either one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So if you're experiencing all of those symptoms, there are subtle differences there. So, of course, the best way to understand your thyroid function and know where you are is with a thyroid blood test. And Kimberly, I know a lot of your clients struggle with thyroid disorders. When they come to your clinic, what tests do you run?
Oh, great question. Well, you know, hair loss is so complicated. And one of the biggest concerns is that making sure that we try to run the correct labs up front. Because many times when there are contributing health factors that are relating to the hair loss or the scalp irritation, the burning, the redness, we then refer everyone out to a specialist. Luckily, our medical director is a specialist in hormone diagnosis as well as thyroid diagnosis. So we follow by his direction. So we start with running these labs, a TSH, a free T4, a free T3, reverse T3, thyroid antibodies, SHBG, total 4, and total 3. So it's a huge panel. And what's odd is when someone brings us lab work, which many times we request if they can come to the clinic with that, I see two labs that have been run. It's a TSH and a free T3. That's it. So why are all of these labs not being ran when at least it appears obvious to maybe you or I that the individual is struggling with thyroid disease?
Well, everybody asks this question. Why nobody ran that lab on me before? And the answer is simple. It's all because of insurance, and the doctor's hands are tied because they just can't justify running all these extra, in quotation marks, labs. So I'm glad that you guys are doing full thyroid panel and some extra, like checking sex hormones like testosterone and estrogen. So let me just take a moment and kind of go deeper and explain exactly what those lab tests mean. Essentially, your TSH is the result of your pituitary gland telling your thyroid to release hormones. And when it comes to understanding the score, things are a little bit backwards. That means that the higher your score, your TSH score, the more your thyroid is sluggish or struggling. The lower your score, the more there is too much hormone in the play. Keep in mind, though, that your TSH can get pretty high, right? You could see it reach over a couple of hundreds or higher, but it can only go so low, so somewhere around 0.01, no negatives here. Now, next one is total T4, right? Means exactly what it says, total. Most of the T4 in the blood is bound to a protein we call thyroxine binding globulin, TBG for short. So less than 1% of the T4 is free. So a total T4 blood test measures both free and bound T4. But what's important to remember is the free T4 affects tissue functions in the body. So let's talk about them. So of course we know there's free T4 and free T3. Free T3 and free T4 tests measure the level of active, like I said, active thyroid hormone circulation in the body. The free T3 hormone is the most important, or I should say active thyroid hormone. That's the one that goes inside your cell and work with mitochondria to produce energy.
Okay, I'm learning something again. We're another 5 minutes in and I feel like I'm back in school. This is great. So the free T3, and you said also TSH, are affecting the tissues in our cells. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's point out, hair, skin, and nails are all cellular structures and soft tissue.
Correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, they're connecting the dots.
Okay, keep going. This
Absolutely.
Is great.
Absolutely, yes. So now there is let's make everything more confusing. Let's talk about reverse T3. So the reverse T3 or RT3, you may see it on the test, measures how much of the active free T3 that we just talked about, right, is able to bind at the thyroid receptor. So RT3, reverse T3, is produced in stressful situation and binds to thyroid receptors, preventing free T3 binding to the cell. If that makes any sense. Kimberly, stop me if there's...
right. So I was just going to say for our listeners, benefit. When they say they're with an endocrinologist, and whether it's hyper or hypo, is there an area that is within these ranges of the TSH and the free T and the reverse T that they should be concerned?
Kimberly, this is a great question, and we can actually, and probably should, dedicate a whole podcast episode talking about ranges. But just to answer your question, It all differs from patient to patient. But most people feel their best when their TSH is between 0.5 and 2. That's just in my personal knowledge and in my professional experience. But think about reverse T3 as a break to your whole metabolism. What it does, it binds to your cell receptor that's supposed to get free T3, but instead the reverse T3 binds to the receptors and it stops all the activity. So that's why that lab test, there are optimal numbers, but each person will be different.
And at the end of the day, if any of these tests are in fact affecting our cells and the proliferation thereof, then there's going to be a problem, at least where I live, which is in hair.
Yes, exactly. Hair loss sign and symptoms, that's one of the first ones that we see in clients when they come and see us. Okay, well, let's talk about thyroid antibodies now. Everybody loves this one because it's complicated. But let me kind of simplify this whole thing. So there are antibodies that are attacking, or these are antibodies that are attacking elements of the thyroid. The most common antibodies in Hashimoto's or hypothyroidism are TPO antibodies and TG antibodies. Most people with Hashimoto will have an elevation of one or both of these antibodies. That's why we have to test them both. Thyroid antibodies, and I think this is the most fascinating fact, that thyroid antibodies are often elevated for decades before TSH level can be seen.
And I will attest to this personally. My family has thyroid disease. My grandmother and my mother, they've been under treatment forever. And I was having these signs and symptoms that you just described earlier. Fortunately, I hadn't started with the hair loss yet, but I was very fatigued. I had a young child. I was tired all the time, and I just couldn't figure it out. And luckily, I had a very proactive gynecologist, and I said, there has to be something else we need to check. Something's wrong. She said, you know, let me go back in and just check these antibodies. And they were extremely elevated. So at that time, she said, you know, she said, you are definitely on the fine line of treatment. And so I opted to move forward with a low grade treatment at that time. And it turned my life around.
That's such a great personal story. Thank you for sharing with us, Kimberly. People with Graves' disease and thyroid cancer may also have an elevation in thyroid antibodies, including TPO and TG. But the most common antibody found in Graves' disease are TSI and TBII. So, you know, the bottom line is that when the antibodies are there, they confirm that there is an autoimmune attack present. And if they're not there, just to make everything more confusing, if they're not there, if your antibodies results are negative or below normal range, that does not rule out Hashimoto's disease. I know it may sound confusing, but that is why we need to look at all the thyroid labs at once and not single out one of them.
Oh, that's such amazing recommendation, advice, I mean, everything. And I think our listeners will really appreciate this, because I know that, you know, they continue to feel bad. They continue to lose hair. Their hair continues to shed, be brittle, dry, their scalp sore, and they keep asking the question. They go to their general practitioner. What's wrong with me? Oh, you know, your labs came back normal. Well, what labs were drawn?
Exactly.
And how do they dig to the end point of this? Then they move on to a specialist. And, you know, again, I mentioned this before, we couldn't do it with all of our amazing, you know, physicians and providers in the world that help us live. However, it's really challenging to get to the bottom of the proper diagnosis for thyroidism, is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely, yes. And you guys are doing an incredible job running extra sex hormones in your clinic, because we know that testosterone, DHA, and estrogen affect the growth cycle and the health of our hair. Now, Kimberly, besides a complete blood panel, our listeners need to be familiar with structural characteristics of their thyroid gland. I'm talking about the physical mass, the size, and health of their thyroid. You can screen for this in three separate ways: ultrasound, self-exam, and of course, doctor's exam.
Okay, so I'm sitting here feeling my throat. Tell me about that self-exam. What do I need to do?
I say when you have a goiter, which is enlarged thyroid, you will know it. You will feel just that it's larger, that it will be, you may not see it, but as you kind of put your fingers deep around your throat in your Adam's apple, you will, and I'm actually doing it right now with you.
No, so we both are.
So you will feel enlarged thyroid. Some people do feel nodules, but it would have to be a very advanced stage.
Is it tender? Am I supposed to feel any pain or anything if it's enlarged?
No pain. You will not. And that's the problem. Or yeah, I guess that's why it's so hard to diagnose thyroid disease, because it doesn't really manifest in that, you know, pain, like, oh, headache, oh, you know, something's wrong. There's nothing. I mean, it takes decades for it to manifest in something like hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Kimberly, I think that was a lot of good information, but let's jump to our frequently asked questions that our listeners have been waiting to hear. Please answer the question, does COVID cause hair loss? Ooh.
Yes, 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 and yes. Whether you have been positively diagnosed with COVID, whether it was from the very first strain almost now 2 years ago, or the most recent Omicron, yes, there is hair loss. Hair loss isn't only a symptom, certainly, of COVID-19. But it is one that is extremely devastating, and especially for men and women. We have seen such an uptick in the number of clients that we are seeing in the last 16 months. Now, remember, COVID started almost 2 years ago. So I said the uptick in clients in the last 16 months. There is a delay. When the cellular structure in the body is compromised and the body is under attack, when it is in COVID, Omicron, the flu, the strep infection, surgery, stress, you name it, right? You're going to see a slowdown of the cell development. And as I mentioned earlier, our cells are so important to reproduction, to our hair, skin, and our nails, as I mentioned earlier. Because of the strain on the body with COVID-19 or any other type of infection, the body uses the cells in the critical organs to maintain. Therefore, our hair, skin, and our nails are the last to receive those, and therefore we see hair loss, we see dryness in our skin, we see breakage in our nails, and on and on. Even before COVID, the statistics for hair loss had increased to 80 million Americans, men, women, and children, that will experience hair loss sometime in their lifetime. I really hate to see what's going to happen when the next census is taken years after this particular pandemic, because we are seeing now hair loss probably even more severe from this last strain of Omicron than we even saw from the very beginning months ago. I do caution you, however, to realize that even if you do not receive a positive test for COVID or any of the variances, you very well could start to see dryness, brittleness, scalp tenderness, and massive hair loss. The hair loss is not directly related to certainly the pandemic itself in your body. However, it is related to stress. And I will tell you, the Cleveland Clinic talks a lot about pandemic stress may lead to hair loss, even in patients who have not been around or even experienced COVID-19. The pandemic has certainly caused hair loss and certainly caused trauma and stress all across the world. However, our clinic really has been affected by the mass numbers that of these individuals, men, women, and children, who are starting to notice more hair loss due to signs and symptoms of the pandemic. The American Academy Dermatology's latest report talks about people that have developed COVID-19 will notice hair loss, but not for any time for 3 to 6 months post their diagnosis. So it's so extremely important for all of us to be proactive. If your scalp becomes sensitive, if you start to notice your hair is drying, if you start to see any additional shedding, please reach out to someone right away, a hair loss specialist, a dermatologist. Gain more knowledge around what could be going on internally so that we can stop what we're seeing externally.
Gosh, Kimberly, this is such good information. Thank you for sharing it with us. And as you know, I've been there, done that. That's how I found you, because I experienced the hair loss, but probably 2 months after my official diagnosis of COVID back in August. So I wish I would have known all this information you're telling us right now. So I'm glad our listeners are armed with this great, great information.
Oh, remember, I moved to the world of proactivity versus the world of reactivity many years ago. So, Natalia, it's your turn again. Let's address the question that you hear from all of your clients. What is the best diet to heal thyroid disease?
Gosh, this question is a very complex one, since we're all different, right? And although we may have different conditions, for example, hyperthyroidism versus hypothyroidism, thyroid nodules or thyroid cancers, different interventions may be required for each of us to heal, you know. And as a registered dietitian and scientist at heart, I consider myself neutral when it comes to picking just one diet. I believe in combination of the best recommendations from every diet. I try not to form too many attachments to diets, herbs, medications, or even holistic treatments. My goal is to simply find the most successful protocols and their combination. I've never had a clients that were alike, so I never recommend the same diet or supplements. Every person has different needs and, you know, medical conditions. That is why nutrition has to be personalized. Now, in my personal and professional opinion, I think the best overall healthy diets are Mediterranean diet, which is deemed the gold standard in preventative medicine, and the DASH diet. That's dietary approach to stop hypertension diet, because it was designed specifically with heart health in mind. It takes a low sodium approach to eating, and studies actually show that the DASH diet effectively lowers blood pressure and bad LDL cholesterol. And we know that people with thyroid disorders are at risk for developing high levels of bad cholesterol.
So wait a second. Let's go back to that Mediterranean diet.
Ooh, yeah.
Do we get to include wine with that to help lower our cholesterol as well?
It's a must.
Ah, love it.
Not only wine, you know, like you said, it decreased cholesterol. Okay, let's think that. But also it's a stress reducer, right? And that's important tactic in healing your thyroid.
Natalia, your information is so amazing. The diet is so important. Whether it is watching your thyroid, whether it is making sure that your hair is supple, healthy, shiny, and growing, there's just so much to kind of put into one of our episodes. We have so many more great opportunities to share information going forward, and we're so excited that we have such amazing listeners. Just remember, we cannot record the most amazing podcast without you. So don't forget, below is a link that you can select, send us your questions. Also, Natalia's website is listed, as well as HPI's Hair Clinic.
Yes, absolutely. And Kimberly, thank you for all this great information. I learned so much today, And I hope our listeners feel the same.